I wanted to hang this banner up, but it's such a nice building, and you can't staple it into the walls, and there's actually no place you can hang up things. I can tell you what it says, since it's in Swedish. It says, the wrong locations have been chosen, and it's mainly about Olkiluoto in Finland for the final deposit of spent fuel, and either the industry prefer to have it here in Oskarshamn, or else it will be there. You see there's some dead fish already and radiation symbols and so on in the Baltic Sea. And the two funny fishes here that are still alive, one says, the ocean is not a garbage dump. And the other one says, don't trust the industry, you know, SKB. Don't let them decide where to put it. But that's just fishes. So the green letters say, why don't you investigate the alternatives? Instead of putting it by the oceans, why don't you investigate the alternatives? The Baltic Sea is already radioactive. We don't want any waste there in the Baltic Sea, or by the Baltic Sea, or below the Baltic Sea. Okay, I'll start now with the subject of the Baltic Sea. This is a picture to illustrate one of the problems with the Baltic Sea. As you can see, the small islands there, the Danish islands, they're like a cork in a bottle. Hardly any water can go in or out. When they wanted to build the bridge, it was a big problem. They had to dig to make it deeper so there could still come a little water. It's only about 1% a year that gets exchanged. That means whatever shit we dump inside the Baltic Sea will stay there forever. If you take 1% each year of something, you'll never be finished. And meanwhile, at the same time, we're adding, like the previous speaker just explained, we're adding a lot of radioactivity every year. If you only take 1% away and you keep adding more, the problem will continue for a very long time, maybe eternally. That's part of the problem, is the geography of the Baltic Sea. Before, even my friends in England, the low-level radiation campaign, used to say the Irish Sea is the most radioactive in the world. Well, in the Irish Sea, it's more open. It runs out all the way to Greenland, all the way over the north of Scandinavia. Up there, 90% of the radioactivity comes from Sellafield. Five times as much comes from Sellafield as from Chernobyl accident, which passed that way up. So that's the difference between the Irish Sea and the Baltic Sea. There it stays. In the Irish Sea, it gets all around. You will soon see the graphs, but you can see here, this is a report. It's the most thorough report ever made about the Baltic Sea and the radioactivity in the Baltic Sea. It was paid by the EU. Some of the scientists from the Riese Center in Denmark, who are not opposed to nuclear power, were responsible for this report. Actually, the man, the name you see there, Sven P. Nielsen, he is in charge of the scientific working group of HELCOM, the Helsinki Commission. There are two scientific groups who investigate the radioactivity in the Baltic region. One is HELCOM, HELCOM Mors. The other one is Council of Baltic Sea State. They also have a scientific working groups. These are the experts. These are the best experts you can find. The Council of the Baltic Sea States are mostly concerned with early warning. Like if another Chernobyl happens, they have all kind of detector systems all over Europe to find out that something has happened. So I would say not that working group, but HELCOM's. They are not concerned with early warning. They are concerned with monitoring and making tests and analyzing the results they get back from each country and comparing each country. HELCOM Mors are the best experts. Not even the IAEA are as good, in my opinion, and they are not as objective or critical. They always make excuses for the nuclear industry. Now, HELCOM says, or this Sven P. Nielsen, who is responsible for their scientific work, he says, as you see here, and you will see the next illustration, the Swedish plants give the largest contribution in the collective doses of the population. That's of all the countries around the Baltic Sea. It's the Swedish plants that are the worst. And this is shocking, because most Swedes believe the technology of Sweden is almost perfect. If they could just close down the reactors in Russia, maybe benefit from the technological skills of the Swedes, or import Swedish technology, there would be no more problems. But I'm about to tell you something else. And also, the population of Denmark and Sweden receive the highest collective doses from this source category. When you start talking about individual doses, because there's more people in Sweden than in Denmark, when you talk about individual doses, it's Denmark gets the most. Now, that the Swedish people get a lot, together with Danish, get the most. That's not surprising, because Sweden has more nuclear reactors than any country in the world, if you count per capita how many people that live in Sweden. The Swedes have more reactors than anybody else. But that Denmark is in top, and that each person in Denmark, on an average, gets more than anybody else around the Baltic Sea, that's surprising, because Denmark doesn't have nuclear power. So the only explanation I can find is that we are in closer connection with the water, or eat more fish. I'll get back to that. We're such a small country with islands just in the middle of the water. All the water comes by. We're very close connection with the water and the fish. So that's why Denmark, Danish people get more radioactivity, although we don't have nuclear power. This is also a graph. This is the original graph. I have made a simpler one in this pamphlet, which is also on the table down there. I'll explain the number 8, the dark blue one at the top there. That's Oskarshamn, as you see. Number 2, that's Forsmark. The last, 15, 20 years, the last 20 years, Forsmark has been at the top. But those two are at the top. You can all see that. In the middle here, there's a bunch of reactors. Among them, number 3 is Greifswald, and number 1 is Barsebäck. They are both close. So in the pamphlet, we have subtracted, we have erased them. You won't see Greifswald and you won't see Barsebäck because they are closed down, and we are concerned with the ones that are operating now. Also, if you look at the left-hand scale there, axis, it's powers of 10. So it doesn't show the true picture. If it should have been a true picture, it would have been way up there. There's no place for the Swedish reactors in this graph if it should have been natural proportions. It's powers of 10. Number 5 here, that's Leningrad. That's where my friend Oleg comes from. That's the 4 reactors at Sosnovy Bor. So you count like this, 10, 100, 1,000, 10,000, 100,000, and more than 100,000. This is the most thorough investigation made, financed by the EU and by the best scientists. So what the Swedes believe about their own reactors is not the truth. I discussed this with Sven P. Nielsen, because he was at the Baltic Sea NGO Forum in October. I discussed it with him personally. I said, can you find any explanation or excuse for that? No. He shook his head. No, I can't explain it. He said, well, you have to be a little careful with the numbers from Russia. I said, well, that's not an excuse. If you are working in this international, regional, scientific group, you should make sure the way that they make the tests are the same. They are standardized in each country. They make the test the same way. And besides, you shouldn't just trust what the Russians say. Make your own double-checking. Make your own investigations. He said, we have done that, and we tried to standardize the testing, but actually our own measurements show that Sosnovy Bor does not pollute as much as the Swedish reactors. So even if you think the Russians are lying, he was saying it's the truth. It's the Swedish reactors that were the worst. Just 2 or 3 days before the Baltic Sea NGO Forum last year, October, I found this report from HELCOM, the scientific working group. In the chapter that it says something about after Chernobyl, the first sentence, this is the first sentence in that chapter. I haven't made it shorter or changed it. The levels of man-made radionuclides are higher in the Baltic Sea than in any other water bodies around the world. So the people that say it's the IRC, they will have to argue with Helcom, not with me. Anyway, that's what they said last year. Oh, I first got interested in this when I found this report. I was on my way to Russia, to Murmansk, and stopped by in northern Sweden. They had a meeting about all the nuclear waste in northern Russia because they're afraid that it would spread to Scandinavia, and they collected hundreds of millions of kroners to help northern Russia. And I found this little graph. That was in 98 I got this one. It shows that the Baltic Sea has more cesium in fish than even in the Irish Sea. Again, about this dilemma here, which one is most radioactive. That was, the graph shows from the beginning of the 90s, it was around 20 becquerel. But then in the end of the 90s, I saw a report about a research program going on at Uppsala University. And they said they were very surprised to find suddenly in Stockholm, at the coastline of Stockholm, it was as radioactive in the sediments as in the areas of Sweden that got all the downfall from the Chernobyl accident. And they hadn't expected that. It came as a big surprise. That's because in the water, it gets all spread out, and at the edge of the water and the coast, it will get deposited in the sediments. But they said there's no reason to worry. Before they said it was 20 becquerel, then they said it's not more than 50 becquerel. And it's the limit for what people can safely eat has been set in Sweden to be 300 becquerels. So it was 20 in the beginning of the 90s. According to the other experts, it was 50 in the fish in the end of the 90s. But if you look at the report now from SSE, who is supposed to be the authority that should protect the people of Sweden, you can see they have to catch fish outside the Swedish nuclear reactors and publish the reports. And I've looked in the reports. It's not 20 becquerel. It's not 50 becquerel. You will find normal fish that people like to catch with more than 200 becquerel, 230 becquerel per kilo. And the limit is 300. So from 20 to 50 to more than 200, it looks to me like it's going the wrong way. At least outside the Swedish reactors, the fish are much more radioactive than these other figures. And that's after year 2000. So even though they also excuse it with the Chernobyl accident. It's from the Chernobyl accident. And they say slowly the content of cesium, which is the isotope that gives most radioactivity inside people, it's slowly falling, it says, the content of cesium. But even though it's falling in the water, it gets into all the small organisms and plants, and the fish eat them, and the bigger fish eat them, and so on. So it gets enriched in sediments and in fish and so on. So it's not true that it's just disappearing and it all depends on Chernobyl. It's not true. So if the fish gets radioactive, like I just explained, it goes from the fish into the humans. This, again, is Sven P. Nielsen, who is responsible for the scientific work in Helcom. This is a quote from him. Eating fish is the major way that people absorb radioactivity. The dominating exposure pathway is that of fish ingestion, eating fish, which contributes about 94%. All other ways, like breathing and touching and so on, together give 6%. And that's actually an argument for the politicians and for Sweden and for all the fishing industry and all the people that work in the fishing industry. When we sell fish and export fish to southern Europe, we're exporting radioactivity from the Baltic Sea to the people that eat the fish. So if they can't understand this, it could hit their export and their fishing industry. In England, between Ireland and England, there are fishing industries now that are in trouble It can be tens of thousands of fish and oysters and mussels or whatever it's called that they can't sell anymore because the United Nations, UNSCEAR, their Committee on Radioactivity, and Codex Alimentarius, certain rules for food and things like that, they have discovered that this radioactivity could be 10 times as dangerous as they thought before. So some of the industry in between Ireland and England cannot export their stuff. If this sharpening of these rules happen, they will not be allowed to export it. We have organization of all the Nordic countries, Nordic Council, and their members of the Nordic Council have made a proposal. Measures to prevent radioactive pollution of the Baltic Sea. You don't have to read it all, but we can get to the conclusion. They suggest the Nordic Council recommends to the government of the Nordic countries that they act to introduce a moratorium, that means stop, on the location of new nuclear power plants and also uranium mining, which will run into the sea. And the Nordic Council recommends to the Danish, Swedish, and Finnish governments that they work to ensure that when they make a plan to save the Baltic Sea, they talk about this all the time, and they have $1 billion or something for doing something with the Baltic Sea. But they always forget to mention the radioactivity problem. They talk about all other kind of environmental problems, but they don't talk about the radioactivity. Not in their press releases and so on. They're very afraid to mention it. So that should be included in the strategic planning for the Baltic Sea, and that the Nordic Council resolves that the Nordic Council shall continue to work on issues relating to the state of the Baltic Sea when it comes to radioactivity. And as I showed you on the banner, if we know that the Baltic Sea is already the most radioactive sea in the world, we don't want to make it any worse. It's enough with the 20 reactors and all the other stuff going on. We don't need new reactors at the ocean. If people want to have them in their own country, they can. And they can make the deposit inside their own country. But we don't need them by the ocean. And Dagens Nyheter, that's a big daily newspaper in Sweden, and it's not against nuclear power. It's very favorable to the industry. They had a headline here in January 2002, and it said, the worst possible location. They're not talking about the method. They're saying the worst possible location has been chosen. This was written by environmentalists and geologists and so on. They say, if you want to put it somewhere, don't put it near the water, where the groundwater will take it right into the ocean. Try to find a good safe mountain inside the country, a dry mountain with no water and where it doesn't run in but doesn't run out into the ocean but the other way, or make it totally dry. So is this the Swedish solution, and the Finns have just copied what they're planning here in Sweden? And in Finland they don't have a consultation process. We have had for years now, and that's why some of us well, that's why we've gotten money to have this conference. It's because we're involved in the consultation process, and it's going on for years, and it's not finished yet. But in Finland, I don't have the impression they have such a consultation process. Very short one. They already started building it. I don't know if they notified their neighbor countries. This is not a private national matter. If you place the deposit, final repository, by the ocean, it's not a private national matter, because it's going to affect all the other countries. So there are international conventions. The Espoo Convention is a UN convention. When it comes to other countries like Korea and Iran and Iraq, we expect them to respect the UN. Well, there's a convention that says if a country wants to do something like that, that goes across the border, affects the other countries, they have to ask the other countries. The other countries have a right to be mixed in the process and to say their opinion and to oppose it. And if they can't agree, you can go to the UN Secretariat and you can have a committee or appoint some lawyers or something that decide the matter. Is it fair? Is it fair that Danes, for instance, shall get more radioactivity than anybody else, although they don't have nuclear power? This hasn't got anything to do with radioactivity, but it's a fact that after the Second World War, America, England, and to some little part France, they decided they had to get rid of all the chemical weapons after the war. So they loaded them onto old ships, sailed them out to the deepest part of the Baltic Sea, and sunk the ships with all the chemical weapons inside. So you don't have to go to some other country to look for chemical weapons. There's 300,000 tons of chemical weapons dumped in the Baltic Sea. Now there's a plan to build a fantastic gas pipeline from Russia to Germany, 500 kilometers long, all through the Baltic Sea. And to establish it safely on the bottom, they have to clear a track 400 meters broad and 500 kilometers long, right through the Baltic Sea. If we know there's a bunch of chemical weapons down there, and also I know, and it's documented, Sweden in the old days, not nowadays, they dumped radioactive waste out there too, in the Baltic Sea. You can't just bulldoze your way through it to make a gas pipeline. Very small amounts of that stuff, whether it's the chemical weapons or the radioactive containers that are lying down there, will hurt people if they get broken open or rust to pieces. It will hurt people. It does hurt people. I see small notices in the newspaper that a man in Latvia will find something he thinks it's amber, the juice from a tree, stone you can make jewelry of, pick it up, and it isn't amber. Maybe it's phosphor, chemical weapons, mustard gas or something, and they get burns and get sick. So it floats into the coasts. Although it was dumped on the deep spots of the sea, it will float into the coast. Are we sure it's a good idea to disturb the stuff? Wouldn't it be better maybe to make this gas pipeline through Poland, as the plan was originally, instead of starting to disturb the ocean bottom? Or shouldn't somebody investigate it before you start doing it? Shouldn't the scientists decide, is it safer to take it up, or is it safer to leave it there? If it's buried there and you try to take it up, it can get all loose in the water. Dangerous radioactive sea transports. We know already Sweden is taking radioactive materials from Germany. They have signed, they are also active in America and in Japan. They have signed contracts with the American Defense Ministry to recycle the radioactive waste. Now, we just found out a few days ago, it was on the Studsvik own homepage, they have made contracts with Sellafield. Sellafield is the worst polluter in the whole world, the single source that pollutes the most. So now Studsvik here in Sweden have made a contract with Sellafield, and the Studsvik director in England, not here in Sweden, they don't talk about it, he's called Mark Lyons, he promises to reduce the volume of scrap metal that they have there at Sellafield, which is in very poor condition. They will build a facility on top of it and take it up, and they're going to reduce the volume of scrap metal that otherwise would have to be stored safely, by 95%. They will take care of most of it. And what are they going to do? They're going to recycle it into the international metal market. They're going to sell it after they've done something to it. And even more spectacularly, he says that some of it may be a little bit difficult just to sell. If it may need further treatment, it will be transported overseas to Studsvik's facilities in Sweden. So it's more dangerous radioactive sea transports. I guess you already heard John from Chemo, from the coastal communities. No? Okay, he can tell you much more about that. But anyway, you remember the map of how to get into the Baltic Sea? There is so much traffic there. They run aground and they collide. They run into each other. Sometimes the captain is drunk and sails right up on the shoreline or into another ship. Sigyn is the Swedish nuclear spent fuel transport ship, almost collided with a big freighter, a gigantic big ship. And they tried to call the ship, you know, hey, we're here, but they didn't get no answer. So they had to make a maneuver to escape They almost collided while they had spent fuel on board. It was 200 meters. For big ships, 200 meters is nothing. You can't stop a big ship on 200 meters. So they have almost been accident happening, and with more transports like that, that the director in England says they're going to take it to Sweden, the chances of an accident happening is just going to grow. The same goes on with Russia. Russia thinks, just like Stutsri, that they can make lots of money by taking care of other people's waste, and they will transport it through the Baltic Sea to St. Petersburg. This is one such example. A few weeks or months ago, there was a transport from Germany, Gronau. They took it to Rotterdam, and then they sailed all around through the Baltic Sea to St. Petersburg, and they do that all the time. This was not the first or the last transport. So here's the Baltic Sea. We want a stop for any new nuclear establishments at the Baltic Sea and also to the dangerous radioactive transports. It's already a very bad situation, as I just explained. We don't want any more of that. We have to live with the 20 reactors that we already have. Thank you.